Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. It's the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan at 6:43. We've got the Mack drop on deck. We're going to talk about fan bases again and our mission to get the Falcons fans on the top of the rowdiest list.
Yeah, I love that.
But first, we got to talk about USC and Michigan. They are questioning the proposed Big Ten private capital deal. Apparently, they have similar concerns that the deal doesn't address the root issue, that the cash that they need in athletic departments these days, it doesn't solve that problem.
Yeah, it doesn't. It seems like a short-term Band-Aid, I think, is how they feel. It's like, oh, nice. Yeah, cool. I think everybody would like to have $100 million-plus dollars right now. But in the end, when you're talking about the soaring cost of all these athletic departments, especially at places like USC, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, like, you're going to deal with a lot of zeros being thrown around in the coming years. And I think that, you know, that's the reason there's a little bit of apprehension. We talked about this a week, 2 weeks ago, and I kind of felt the same way. It's like, are you really willing to give up a chunk of, and you're, I guess you're not giving up anything, but you're creating Big Ten enterprises and you're locking in media rights deals for $100 million that who knows how long that's going to carry you. I mean, we just talked about James Franklin getting a $49 million buyout, and there you go, 50% of everything that's happening for the infusion of this deal. So I don't know. I don't blame the apprehension on anybody. I'd be curious to see how much power some of these groups actually have to stop this from happening, but it seems very short term to me.
It was like taking out a second mortgage on your house to go buy a car with or something. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the feeling I got when they said, they're like, hey, there's soaring costs. You know what the soaring costs are? The fact that they're playing teams in, you know, you've got Rutgers playing Oregon. You know that, like, the trial. Like, why are conference regionally based anyways? So that they can travel and play other teams and not have these enormous costs, not take students, which there no longer are, really, not in football anyways, maybe volleyball and stuff, away from. Like, so all these things were done for a reason, and now it's just money, money, money. You're also essentially giving – you're essentially doing – and I'm not saying it's verbatim the same, but it feels a lot like what the ACC did with their media rights deal, where what you're going to do is you're going to sign in this deal, you're going to be locked in this Big Ten enterprise till 2046.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to lose control of your negotiation rights when you do that, so that whoever is running – whoever's funding you with the money is going to be able to run that. And how, when are you going to be able to get better deals as when you know, other conferences that you think you're equal with get better deals? So it's gonna basically put you behind the eight ball. I think it's a bad deal. I think they're right, and I think Michigan and USC are two of the smarter athletic departments when you get down to it.
Well, and Mike, you just mentioned James Franklin. Speaking of him, Nebraska's Matt Rhule was asked about going to Penn State to be the head coach. He did not dismiss it.
I love Penn State. Met my wife there. It's my alma mater. Fan since I was born. I was born, I think, probably had a Penn State shirt when I was born. I love Pat Kraft. And really sad to see Coach Franklin go. I'm not going to talk a lot about job openings when they come. Maybe it's been a while here, but this is what happens when you win. I've dealt with it. You know, we've won at Temple, and I dealt with it all the time. I've dealt with Baylor. I'm not going to talk about those things ever. I'm not going to talk about my contract here. I'm going to talk about the team.
Yeah. So it's not a no. Right. I think it's interesting, man. Obviously, like he was just talking about, he's not, you know, he's an alum. He's always got ties back to the place. I guess my question, and this is what I'm going to throw a boat, like, would Matt Rhule be somebody that Penn State should want? Like, he's a good college coach, I guess. I don't know. Like, I'm sitting there going, is Penn State not punching higher than that? I know Nebraska's what, 5-1? That's awesome. But I don't know. It just feels a little flat.
Relationship with the AD, alma mater. He's a Penn State guy. You know, I'm not trying to pick on Michigan, but, you know, Michigan man kind of stuff. a lot of times these schools do like guys that know the environment, that fit in.
Sure.
They kind of just do that thing.
They understand the landscape.
I mean, Coach Hot Sauce, which was what I called James Franklin. James Franklin did a really good job with that program. The first person that would tell you that was James Franklin, though. He loved to talk about himself and everything he did. And
that's, dude.
Hold on.
That's not fair.
Let me finish. And I'm not sure if he ever really fit what they were there. That Penn State's a different place. It's a different place. I think Matt Rhule would fit perfectly there. I don't think they're going low either to get him. Matt Rhule's won everywhere in college he's at. He's got Patrick Mahomes in Nebraska at 5-1. I mean, excuse me, Dylan Raiola.
Did you hear Dylan Raiola say he's not going anywhere? He loves it here. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be so sure.
Didn't you
make it awkward?
Yeah, didn't you love your high school before you went to Buford? And didn't you love Georgia before you went to Nebraska? Money's. Listen, young man.
It'd be Dylan Raiola being the quarterback for Penn State next year. You know what I mean?
Like, it's funny that Dylan Raiola says that when he's made decisions based on money as a high school and then as a high school kid before he even got to college. So, I think Matt Rhule's there. I think that's probably if I was betting on Vegas, I would say Matt Rhule's their next coach. And I'm not dumping on James Franklin. I'm telling you what he was and how.
You just said he loved talking about
himself. He did, and I'm trying to tell you that I don't think he ever truly fit the Penn State environment and what that Happy Valley is. He stuck. They were always looking to drop the hammer on James Franklin and get him out of there, and he was very successful. James Franklin is a good college football coach. Okay, do I think he'll necessarily be coaching a top-tier SEC team or Big Ten team next year? No, I don't. I honestly think he'll probably go to the Big 12 and do well with somebody there that has an opening.
What's the turnaround time going to be for Penn State? When do you think we'll know?
They'll
take their time?
Yeah, they're not in any hurry. They're not a playoff team anymore. With the three games that they've lost, there's just no way.
Okay.
And so, I think you get to the end of the season, and depending on what Nebraska or Indiana or whoever else they're targeting, depending on where they're at, that's kind of how you'll get your timeline.
Week 8 is upon us in college football, and number 5 Ole Miss is playing number 9 Georgia, 3:30 on Saturday. Lane Kiffin is already starting to send words Kirby's way.
Well, at some point he did, right? He talked about him at some point.
He was truly being Lane Kiffin in the words he had to say. We got it now.
Off the wall question, you and Kirby, two most probably some of the more demonstrative coaches on the field. Who do you think burns more calories in a game, you or him?
I don't know. That's a good question. I walked by the TV and saw his press conference today, so it looked like he's burned too many calories.
Dude. You got something to say about Lane?
I like Lane. You're taking something and making it personal. I'm telling you there that not every college town is the same, which you should already know. I know you do. And then I don't think James Franklin, the way he was, ever truly fit in with what that fan base was. That he won, so they kept him. I think Lane Kiffin fits in with what Ole Miss is. All right? He has the haircut of an Ole Miss kid. He talks trash. I think he's partied before. Like, Lane Kiffin that's what SEC schools, other than maybe Vanderbilt, they want their coaches to talk trash and win football games.
Here's the problem. What is the difference between James Franklin and Lane Kiffin when you get down to it?
I'm not telling you there is
one. No. I'm genuinely asking. You're saying that Lane Kiffin fits what Ole Miss is, and James Franklin was never part of the community. Dude, Ole Miss ain't this. This ain't Ole Miss. They're not trash talkers.
Yes, they are.
No, they're
I've
not.
Been to the Grove. They like to
wear high heels and sundresses to the game with suits and
frat
boys.
You're right, because rich hottie totty people have never ran their mouths and played the elitism game. Ole Miss doesn't play elite.
Let me finish. Lane Kiffin, who did he lose to last year? That was a playoff team. Did he get him the playoff? They lost to freaking Kentucky, Florida, a bad Florida team. Like, they beat Georgia. You should have gone to the play. To me, they're the same head coach. They're the same guy. James Franklin's just in a situation where it feels like he couldn't punch up. And Lane Kiffin's in a situation where they're like, this would be great. Like, those are great
years. The situation is different because how many times did James Franklin beat? What is Georgia equivalent to in the Big Ten? Ohio State or Michigan? How many times did James Franklin beat one of those two teams in his 12-year tenure? Well, I think twice. Okay? Kiffin's and the other thing I'll tell you is the Big Ten is not as deep. They're top heavy. Basically, all James Franklin could have been in a playoff every other year if he could have beat Ohio State or Michigan every other year, and he couldn't. He got there when they got in the 12-team playoff, who was, and then he did do well there. I'm not telling you I thought James Franklin should have been fired. I told you yesterday I didn't think he should have been fired. However, I'm telling you, they were looking for a reason to get rid of him. They didn't think he fit their culture.
Quick reminder that tonight and each Wednesday night, you can join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation. A comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state is brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we talked about the rowdiest fan bases in the NFL yesterday. I do have a mission to get the Falcons on that list, that fan base. I know it's not going to happen overnight, but we'll get there.
I'll join you.
With the recent release of Taylor Swift's album, the Swifties have been in full force. So I want to play the family feud of the top 10 fan bases in pop culture. Have you guys tried to guess them?
Okay.
And I'll go ahead and let you know, Taylor Swift is not number one. And
wow.
This is kind of all-encompassing over time. So it's not as of today. It's just over time. Who have been the biggest fan bases?
Okay.
Okay? Name right. some.
You want me to name some
yeah, try
biggest
to guess.
Fan bases?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of the biggest fan
the Bayhive.
In history?
The Bayhive is number 7.
Wow. Is this like in history or current?
In history. It's all-encompassing.
Okay.
Dave like Matthews.
No.
I'm thinking more along the lines. That's why I asked in history. I'm thinking more along the lines like Elvis or the Beatles. You know what I mean?
Beatles
like
got to be out there.
Crazy fan bases.
We're not going back that far.
Okay, okay, fair. Okay, that's why I was wondering. I was like, eh.
It's you according know, we're Yard right Barker, there. If you need a resource. Yeah.
They don't go back that far.
They don't go back that far.
Is there like a Backstreet Boys?
Top 10 is, the number 10 is 90s boy bands.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I can see that.
What about movies?
Oh, we're going movies.
Oh, Star Wars fans.
Star Wars is number 2.
Okay. Harry Potter's probably on there.
It is not.
Well, then Lord of the Rings won't be on there.
No.
Well, I guess you would have the Marvel
Star Trek,
people.
Star Trek.
Star Trek is not on here.
That's weird.
I was
going to
say the Marvel
are weird.
People. The Marvel people.
Marvel,
like
Marvel people. Yes, Marvel is number 8.
There you go. All right. I'm on a heater, I feel like.
Couple TV shows in here as well.
Game of Thrones fans.
No.
Well, then, is like The Office people on there?
The Office.
There
I mean,
you
my
go.
Wedding was Office
I like
themes.
That.
Yeah.
I like that. What other fan base? Are there any other TV shows on there?
There's one more TV show. It's got a resurgence on Netflix, but it went off the air in 2004.
Like Friends?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Friends.
Ah!
And I'm going to tell you, so we've got 90s boy bands. We're missing one artist on here.
Give me a decade.
2000s.
Tough.
Bleach Blonde.
Can't be Lady Gaga. Is
Justin
it?
Timberlake?
Mm-mm.
Oh, Bieber?
It's the stands. Bieber's number 1.
Oh, Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem is number 9. Justin Bieber is number 1.
He's number 1?
Yeah.
Yard Barkers, they're dismissed. They're dismissed. I can't.
But number 5, the one you probably won't get because it's such like an underground cult culture, the Tim Burton movies. Nightmare Before Christmas, Batman.
I watched one of those the other day.
Edward Scissorhands.
The best,
also good.
The best Batmans. The best Batman ever was. Now, Tim Burton, I love the original Batman. The original Batman is so good.
Yeah.
With I say the original, but the 91 or 89 with Michael Keaton.
So
oh,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so good. It's just, it's goofy. Don't get me wrong. Christian Bale was the best actor that played Batman.
Eh.
But I love the theme of Michael Keaton and everything. It was so good.
Is Adam West considered, I guess, the OG Batman?
Yeah. Because that's a TV show. They did have a couple of movies that were just... Him they and
just,
Robin.
They just they drove the Batmobile at regular speed, but then sped up the film.
Yes. No. But hey, the best part was every time somebody got hit, it was
Wham! Is like, bam, pow.
Well, coming up, it is time to go through Monday night's game with a fine-tooth comb. The good, the bad, and the ugly are coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.